My name is Jeff Harbach. I'm the CEO of Coffin Fellows and the host of the Coffin Fellows podcast. This season, our podcast is produced in partnership with Mighty Capital and features different Coffin Fellows as co-hosts. In this podcast, we dive deep into the personal narratives of some of the most successful names in the venture capital industry. But we're not here just to explore their highlight reels, however impressive they are. From failures and formative learning experiences to inflection points and aha moments, we discuss the real, authentic journeys that each individual goes through to become the best version of themselves in order to best serve the entrepreneurs they invest in. Covering various themes in venture capital investing, we speak with the world's top leaders in capital formation, all from a place of authenticity and vulnerability. Together, we'll unravel what truly makes a great venture capital investor. Now let's meet today's host and their guest. Okay, welcome back to the Coffin Fellows podcast. We're thrilled today to welcome SC Mawadi from Mighty Capital to the podcast. SC, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff. Great to be here.
So awesome to have you. So SC is a fellow, a Coffin Fellow from Class 25. She is the founding managing partner of Mighty Capital. She is also the founding CEO of Products That Count, the largest and most influential network of product managers in the world. Previously, SC built products that billions of people use at Facebook, Nokia, and EA. Andreessen Horowitz general partner Andrew Chen called SC, quote, a genius at making products people love, end quote. That's got to feel pretty good. She's also a best-selling author, a university lecturer, and she even sings in a rock band. SC, tell us about your rock band.
That's my favorite part. So I'm obviously it's amateur, but we sing some pretty fun stuff. Queen, David Bowie, all that kind of classic rock stuff. And my range is actually really broad. My volume, not as much, but that allows me to sing like Freddie Mercury type stuff, I practice at home to the despair of my husband sometimes.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. Our Coffin Fellows karaoke night is going to be off the charts. This is awesome.
Can be pretty fun, yeah.
So Essie, tell us a little bit about Mighty Capital first, both Mighty Capital and also Products That Count.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, one goes together with the other. And it all started with Products That Count, which I started 6 years ago, after spending a dozen years building product myself, as you mentioned. What happened, that transition from my career as a product leader is, when I left Facebook, I was invited to write a book on what makes a great product. And as I was writing this book, pulling up my own stories and other people's stories, I wanted to take a little bit more of a, you know, philosophical approach to building product, not so much like tactics. And I was thinking about like what makes a great product, and there was no place for me to have this type of discussions with fellow product leaders. So I started what was initially a dinner series at my house, and has now grown into this really global network of product people who are all trying to answer what looks like a very simple question: what makes a great product, but has a really complex answer. And as we were building this, I was angel investing. I've been angel investing for over a decade. And I started to get a lot of deal flow from this network. And I was investing with partners who became my fellow general partners. And we saw an opportunity to start what really was a new kind of venture firm, a venture firm that writes small checks and invests in companies and then help them build great products and sell to product managers, which is something that's become actually a key driver of the growth of Mighty Capital. But anyway, so it was all, it's a nice story because it's all organic, right? The way that Mighty Capital got started. And so we've raised now two funds and we've had multiple exits, including several IPOs. So the fund's doing great. And I know that's not the focus of this podcast, but it's been really interesting to see how this idea of, the best product wins, which most investors see as a myth, we're working to turn into a reality.
I love that, SC. What I love about your story is that you were a product manager first. You cared deeply about products that people cared about. And so you developed this into what we at Coffin Fellows call your zone of genius. Maybe without even knowing that it was, but certainly knowing that you had a strategic advantage there, something that you were really passionate about, that you really cared about, and you kind of did the 10,000 hour rule, as Malcolm Gladwell has popularized. And then what you did is you took that zone of genius and applied it to an investment thesis, both first as an angel investor and then as a VC, to make investments that matter and that follow your thesis. So I love this story and your kind of formation and journey into venture. So Essie, tell us a little bit about, when you think about zone of genius, the way that we talk about it at Coffin Fellows, what does that mean to you? Kind of, when did you discover that you had this knack for building products or recognizing products that people love? And how are you harnessing that now in the investments that you're making, in the podcast that you're hosting, and the coaching that you're doing with entrepreneurs?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And so much of it has to do with intention, right? This idea of the zone of genius is, how do I get to spend more time in the places where I can have the biggest impact? And so I think of it as I think of a lot of things as rules of threes. I try to even when there are four, I try to make them down to three. So it's easier for me to remember. But anyways, I think of it as joining, shaping, and driving conversations, which in many ways is the law of networks. And you and I, I'm sure we'll have some fun discussions in this podcast about networks. But 90% of a network, and in my case, it's a network of product managers, is relatively passive, right? Here to kind of consume content, maybe attend a couple of webinars or listen to podcasts. And then these join what I call the product conversation. And then 10% will shape the product conversation, which means they will raise their hand to be a guest speaker, like I am today on your podcast, or like most of our speakers at Products That Count are. And then 1% will say, no, I'm going to drive the conversation. And for me, it was sort of how I discovered my zone of genius, by first joining, then shaping, now driving the product conversation. So joining, I was kind of tweeting like, hey, here's a good article about great products. And then, a few months later, learning more about that conversation got me to want to shape it. So I started, giving my opinions and my two cents on a lot of topics, on panels, in blog posts, and so on. And then driving is, I really started that when I was invited to write this book on product. And from there, the conversation started to take a turn, because when you build products, a lot of folks, especially in Silicon Valley, love building products for the sake of innovation. But then, there's what happened for me was like, what's the point, right? The point is value creation. How do you measure value creation? And that's how I started to look into business model innovation. And, there's many different ways to monetize a network. So I could have done, advertising in the network. I could have done lots of consulting in the network, but I chose to look at investing in the network because I thought that this is where you align incentives. If I put skin in the game into what I believe to be the best products, and I recommend the best product managers or product leaders to work on these best products, then hopefully everything aligns to create a better world by driving more innovation. And creating a better world for everyone is something that's really meaningful to me. But also, one thing that's become incredibly important to me, and that's where, the zone of genius is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, enabling product managers to create great products, to get into technology, is a great way to, reduce inequalities in our society, right? Getting people into technology being a great equalizer, it's something that's really meaningful for me. So that, kind of long answer to your question, but that personal journey of how do I take a stand, right? How do I start driving the conversation led me to look at the impact that I'm making at a much broader scale. And now we're sort of taking it to an even different stage where we're looking at advocacy for product managers and what is the future of the industry? How is it going to look like in 10 years? So every time I kind of turn a corner, I see like an even bigger horizon, an even different, bigger impact, all of that being powered by the network, the alignment of incentives. And so that's really what I'm looking at as, you know, feeding my zone of genius.
And that just aligns so well with when I think of you talking about your zone of genius and how you've developed it and how you care about impact, I think of you just jumping out of bed every morning. Like, you've got to be this, and I know you, SC, you are full of energy. You are a high energy person that goes to bed early, wakes up early. Like, what is it that gets you jumping out of bed every morning? You've kind of already covered this, but I want to peel the layers of the onion back just a little bit more. Like, what is the true motivator for you as listeners listen to this podcast and they think, wow, Essie has this incredible background and she's done all these different things and now she's gotten to the success where she's at. What continues to motivate her? Like, what is it that really is the motor behind your energy?
Yeah, thank you for that. And, you know, I would say, yes, I have a huge amount of energy that's driven by the impact I'm making. The reality of my day-to-day, and I'm sure it's the same for you, right? Like, building a network is one person at a time, one interaction at a time, sometimes one tweet at a time. So it's incredibly granular. And the grind of it, it's like every day, nonstop. And the more you do it, right, as long as you don't stop, it grows. It doesn't grow linearly at all. So you have like really, really long streaks of feeling like you're not going anywhere. You just have to kind of keep pushing the rock up the hill. And then all of a sudden you kind of reach another level of growth, right? For our network, some of the key moments of growth where, you know, diversification of the network in terms of geographies, then in terms of different channels, then in terms of industries, then in terms of business model with the investment piece. But the day-to-day of it is a grind of adding value to one person at a time. And so definitely, like, you know, getting up every morning, sometimes it's hard. So the way I think about motivation, there's actually a great book called The Science of Total Motivation that it's two bright researchers who've done analysis of what motivates people. And the three kind of positive motivators are play, purpose, and potential. Play being, do you have fun every day, right? And so that's like the idea of spending time in your zone of genius that's going to drive that. Purpose is what you're doing changing the world. So this idea that I'm helping 300,000 people build a successful career in technology, reducing inequalities, that's like a massive motivation. And then potential, it's like, is what you do driving your career where you want it to go? And so for me, you know, I'm building a firm that's been called like a different way of doing venture capital. We are delivering outstanding returns to our investors. So in terms of like how it builds my career, it, you know, it checks the box. And so that's sort of what keeps me going on days when I'm not super excited. I'm like, okay, which one of the three am I going to think about? Like, am I going to have a fun day? Is it play? Is it purpose? Do I have to remember why I do what I do? Or is it potential? Like, you know, I'm making my investors or my entrepreneurs happy.
We certainly all face those days, that's for sure. What do you think that society or humanity should be focusing our resources on to make the biggest impact? You talked about impact. Where should we be spending our time, given your expertise in products?
Yes, absolutely. So I think of products as avatars that are built on top of data lakes. So I know it sounds a little bit esoteric. But if you look at most of the products that we think about as, you know, today's rock stars, like the Ubers of the world, the Airbnbs of the world, they are built on top of the mobile data lake, which is everything that mobile devices collect, which is your identity and your context, basically everything that's outside of us. And there's still countless of services that are going to be built on that, because we started with the kind of the top layers of our economy, consumer, Now we're going into the enterprise, but we haven't quite touched the industrial and supply chain. So there's still a huge amount of innovation that's going to come from that mobile data lake. And then there's a second massive data lake that's everything that's inside of us. So genomics data, and I define it very broadly, you know, our genome, but also our eye footprint, dental footprint, all that information. And we're just beginning to build services on top of that. It's very different because you have basically all the technology and innovation that was built on the mobile data lake trying to apply to the genomics data lake, but facing all sorts of regulations, right? So that's where you get all sorts of scandals. But anyway, some really exciting innovation is going to come out of that. And then you have a third data lake, which right now is really in its infancy, which is really powered by the blockchain. And that's the data lake that connects people to things. And that we have barely scratched the surface on. We're actually just at the infrastructure level. So I really think of innovation as these three massive waves. And these three data lakes are, you know, independent from one another. So there's just a ton of innovation that's going to come over the next 20 years from all three of them.
This concept of avatars built on top of data lakes is not one that I've heard before, and I'm super interested in it. I think we could talk about this for a long, long time and fill multiple podcast episodes with this, which brings us to kind of a pivot in our discussion, which is to talk more about the podcast that we are doing in partnership with Mighty Capital for this season one or season two of the Coffin Fellows podcast. You are going to have the opportunity to interview others and talk probably more about these exact topics. But before we do that, let's, you know, the purpose and the title and the focus of this next season of the Coffin Fellows podcast is to focus on what makes a great venture capital investor. So let me just ask you that first. What do you think? What makes a great venture capital investor?
Yes, and I'm one of, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of answers. So the way I think about it is to be a great investor, you have to find opportunities. It's really being a contrarian. Maybe I'm preaching my own choir because my husband keeps telling me that I do exactly the opposite of what he ever asks. But anyways, you know, I think what's happening in the venture capital industry is there's a big innovator's dilemma, the Clay Christensen concept of disruption, which is very similar to what I saw about a decade ago in the mobile industry. You know, Nokia, I was working there at the time, was building phones that had ever bigger memories and ever higher definition cameras. So 5 megapixel, 12 megapixel, and that was the name of the game. And then iPhone came and said, actually, it's not about the resolution of your camera. It's about listening to music and browsing the internet, right? The app store. And what's happening in the venture capital industry is the same thing. It's all about raise a bigger fund, which ultimately will dilute the returns of the industry. And so the funds that are raising you $1 billion are going to struggle to generate venture size returns. And so the way to get out of that is to change the name of the game. So do things differently, raise smaller funds and add more value, which is where I think the industry is heading.
That's a great perspective to have. I love that. That's what we want to get from this podcast, is talking to each of the fellows that are going to be our hosts to their guests about what makes a great VC investor, venture capital investor. So as we pivot to talking about this podcast that we're going to be doing, SCU, this next season, one of the products that you have is actually your podcast show, and you're bringing some of that expertise to this partnership with Coffin Fellows podcast. What do you think makes, let's get into a little bit of the nuts and bolts really quick about what makes a great podcast, and what does that look like? If we can, how do we make sure that we're doing a good job in what we're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really, you know, from where I am, where this partnership comes about. It's like looking at, you know, from products that count perspective, like we're all about building great products, including, you know, a great podcast like Forbes 15 and so on. And how can I join shape and drive the conversation as a Kaufman Fellow and really support the health of of the Kauffman Network. So some of the best practices we've learned over the few years we've hosted the Products That Count podcast is you want to optimize for three things. One is breadth, two, depth, and three, diversity. And the reason being, when you're trying to answer a question that's super simple with such complex answers, what makes a great product in our case, what makes a great investor in the case of Kauffman, no one person can answer. But a network can give a lot of different views on the topic. And so if you're able to leverage the power of your network in a podcast show, first of all, it makes it very scalable and it increases the reach, but also you'll get so many different views on this question that you'll actually start to get an answer. Like, for example, we'll have some fellows talk about what makes a great investor who's trying to solve for climate change, or what makes a great investor who's looking to support, you know, women founders. In my case, you know, what makes a great investor who's part of the age of product? And all of these different perspectives, they start to paint a picture of what is actually a great VC investor. So that to me is really, you know, in my book, I talk about the mind, body, spirit of great products. I call that the product formula, but I think that's really what makes a great podcast. And concretely, you know, in terms of what we can expect from the season, is a very clear audience with this unique angle on what makes a great investor, very consistent audio programming. We're working with a professional producer who's in Hollywood, so he's done great work for us. And then we're also going beyond just the podcast, because one thing we learn building our own podcast is some people love listening to podcasts, but then some people just want the cliff notes. And so for each of the episodes, we'll create a summary blog post for each of the series that, you know, our 10 fellows will be hosting. We'll create an ebook that will sort of combine and summarize their view on the particular theme they pick related to that topic, what makes a great investor.
I love your product approach to launching a successful podcast. And I hope all the listeners are paying attention to that. If you're thinking about hosting your own podcast or just thinking about how to connect with individuals, this is some great advice to follow. You know, when you approached this SC about doing this podcast in partnership with the Kauffman Fellows podcast, the thing that I was really excited about was to, you know, to partner with you, to do an experiment that we focused on your current class, which is the class 25 of Kauffman Fellows, but also to really highlight all the amazing individuals in this network. You know, you hear me say, and many people hear me say all the time, that the unique strength and strategic advantage that this network has, or this organization has, is the incredible individuals that make up the network. We're more than 700 strong, over 50 different countries on all 6 inhabited continents. And in that, we see different individuals doing incredible things all throughout the globe. And so what we're going to see in this first season is diversity in perspective, diversity in gender, diversity in geography, diversity in sector focus. And you're going to see individuals that are bringing their real full self to the conversations that they have in the podcast. That's really what is at the core of what we believe at Kauffman Fellows, is going very, very deep, being very open and authentic and real, so that we can be relatable and show kind of the hero's journey that goes on in every person's, you know, kind of experiences. There's so much that we just kind of cover at a very superficial level. We want to go much deeper into understanding the highs, the lows, and the stories of everything in between that makes these different VCs the best VC that they can be. So really excited to kind of match what you're talking about, SC, with the breadth and depth, as you said, and diversity. So hitting all the three of those points in the network of Kauffman Fellows. I think it's going to be a great season. SC, go ahead. Did you want to say something there?
Yes, I was going to add something, which is something you and I heard earlier today from one of the founding fathers of the Kauffman Fellow Program, Brad Feld, who I think puts it in such a great measurable way. He said, in every network, right, you have 1% of people who really raise their hand. And these are, in the context of this podcast, these are the 10 hosts that we're going to hear from throughout the season. And if you're able to get this 1% of people to engage 10% of the network, then you have a 10x return. And that's the power of network. And so I'm really excited because we're going to, you know, fully leverage the power of the Kauffman Network with this new season.
I agree. And I'm thrilled to have you. SD, it's been so fun talking to you, having you be a Kauffman Fellow. We're thrilled to have you continue the journey with us, both in this podcast and in Venture Beyond. And just thank you so much for your idea here, for approaching us with this idea, and for the podcast that we're going to be able to share with the world over these next really 60 plus episodes. So ready world, here we come. SD, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's a wrap. Tune in next week for another candid conversation on what makes a great VC investor with your host, the Kauffman Fellows.